13. Keela on her pilgrimage. On the Via Aquila, Keela hears someone call her name, and it's not any of the millions with her.
He's sick.
Euphrates,
Perivanna asks, but she grays out for a moment. She tries to steady herself. She knows what it is because it's happened before, just a few times. The nauseous, pre-ictal phase of vision. She had it at Lion's Gate. The world gets muffled, and her sight dims, and she can hear her own blood. She always assumes it's him, but he hasn't spoken to her very often, and she's never been truly sure it's him anyway.
Euphrates?
It passes. She straightens and takes a breath. She can pass it off as tiredness. Perivanna knows everybody has long passed the point of exhaustion. It's never really a voice, and never really her name. Like this time, just a fleeting glimpse in her mind's eye of impossible light, a blinding brilliance above the world. In that light is her name, somehow, not spoken, but represented as a sign. She feels sick. She suddenly thinks of all the times since the siege closed in and crushed their lives that she's thought she's heard her name called out. Most of the time she's dismissed it, just a voice in the ever-growing crowd. What if it's been him every time, and she's missed it? What if he's been trying to tell her something and she hasn't understood?
I'll catch you up, she says. Keep them moving.
Perivanna looks at her for a moment, then nods. She takes herself to the side of the road and clambers up into the rubble to find a place to sit and catch her breath. In the Via Aquila below her, the Exodus streams past. Eald reckons 6 million now, maybe more. There's no way of managing more than the roughest estimate. The conclave has been moving them north, away from the front line, though now it's a case of the masses moving the conclave. When they started out, trying to guide survivors, there was some sense of control. But the tide of refugees is now so vast, it's moving of its own volition, like a great river or an elemental force, carrying the members of the conclave with it. She and the others have no more hope of guiding it or stopping it than they have of turning it around. She doesn't know where they're going, except north, and she's no longer sure why. The Via Aquila seems to have forgotten how to end. It's one of the main processionals of the central citadel, a vast highway. But even vast highways come to an end eventually. This doesn't. They seem to have been trudging along it for hours. She gets up and clears dust from her throat. A dry wind flutters the purity tag stapled to her coat. The river of souls below her, tight-packed and 100 meters wide, stretches as far away as she can see to her right, where the bloom and fire flash of war covers the sky, and also to her left, where there is just haze and drifting smog. So does the Via Aquila. It's become impossibly, monstrously long, attenuated in ways that make her skin crawl, like the dimensions in a dream, where the faster you run towards something, the further away it gets. They are lost on a straight road. They were lost, she thinks, before they even set out. She is glad of her brief vision and the sense of something calling to her, despite the nausea and discomfort it brought, because it gives her hope. Keela had begun to think, for reasons she can't fully explain, that he had somehow suddenly gone from the world and left them all behind, that he had disappeared and was no longer in his place on the great throne. So long as there is a voice, there is a chance.